May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, poor Larry, he came back last week, and the gospel was really long, and now it's long again. I think we should read popcorn. Anyway, to see this play out must have been really astonishing. They use that word in the gospel. And it starts off, you know, as they're walking along, they come upon this blind man from birth, and that's an operative word, from birth to birth. And so the disciples say, well, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? And that was, and it still is, that's kind of a misconception, a wrong assumption. Just because somebody is ill, or they're down on their luck, or they have terrible things happen, that doesn't mean that God is punishing them because they sin. Things happen in life that are not fair, that are not within God's will, that's not within God's thoughts of how life is to be for us. So they were confused, and Jesus says, neither, but, and here's the good news, it was an opportunity for God's love and his power and his healing to be shown. So it was redemptive, very redemptive. So what happens? Jesus meets the man. He spits into the mud, and back then, in ancient times, that was considered medicinal. And he rubs it on his eyes, and he tells the man, okay, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. What happens next? The man is obedient. He listens. He goes and he washes. And what happens? Of course we know. The man can see. Jesus performed a miracle. So when the man comes back and now he can see, everybody's like, what? The neighbors are saying, oh yeah, it's him, it's him. Some of them are saying, well, no, it looks kind of like him, but no, it's not him. And so they ask him, you know, are you the man that was blind from birth? And the guy says, yeah, that's me. And so they ask him, well, how were your eyes open? And he says, well, the man called Jesus, made mud. He spread it on my eyes, told me to go and wash, and I listened. Good thing that we all should do that. And now he can see. Obedience. Obedience. So they said, well, where is he? Of course he didn't know. So then what happens? Not just the neighbors, but now the Pharisees want to weigh in. And the Pharisees are starting to argue and grumble. Well, what do you mean? This can't happen on the Sabbath. It's not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. This man is a sinner. Jesus is a sinner because he actually healed on the Sabbath. And we hear that a couple of times in the Gospels. The Sabbath is the perfect time for someone to be healed by our Lord. And so they start convincing, and they were divided. So what do? They go to the man and say, well, what do you say? It almost sounds like when Jesus said to the disciples, well, who do they say I am? They go through a list, and to get to the end of the story, Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? So the man's faith is growing, and he's becoming courageous. So he was obedient, he's beginning to have faith and trust, and he's getting stronger. He's getting courageous, and he says, well, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. What else could he possibly be? He's a prophet. And so then they don't like his answer, so they go to the parents. And that's really kind of, you have mercy on them, because I guess we all could maybe do the same thing. But at least they admitted to the Pharisees that, oh yeah, this is our son, but basically it kind of that they don't have us back. They were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. And they tell him, no, you go ask him. He's of age. Wow. That's not really brave or courageous. So they go to the man again, and they say, okay, who do you say he is? Who do you say that the man is who saved you, who made you be able to see? And, I'm sorry, I lost my place. And he says, I've already told you. Here comes the clincher. But you wouldn't listen. So the man says, so why are you asking? Why are you asking me again? Do you want to become his disciples? Well, that was a really ruffle their feathers because they were very arrogant. They did not want to lose their position or status. They did not want to lose their income. They did not want to lose what they considered respect of the whole community. They wanted to keep everything the same. They didn't want to hear about Jesus healing, about Jesus being the Son of God, about Jesus being the Messiah. And then the next thing down, it is astonishing. When the man says, here is an astonishing thing. And it is for a lot of different reasons and on a lot of different levels, because we can hear for ourselves that the man's faith is growing even more. He says, now you do not know where he comes from. And yet, he made me to be able to see. We know, and this is the man talking to the Pharisees, so they were very upset. We know that God does not listen to sinners. They knew that to be true. But he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. And never since the world began has it been heard that anyone has opened the eyes of a person born blind. So the blind man says to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing, absolutely nothing. And so they answered him with an attitude, well, you were born entirely in sin and you're trying to teach us. And so what happens? They drive him out of the synagogue. That doesn't sound like a lot to us back then. That was a big deal. But he was willing to have faith in Christ. He was willing to trust in Christ. He knew what Christ did. And that what they did to him was not as important as believing in the Lord. And so Jesus hears about it. He goes to him. And what does he say? He says, you have seen him. And the one, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man says, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe. And Jesus says to him, just like he did to the woman in the well, he says, you have seen him. And the one who is speaking to you is he. Instantly, this man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And the story doesn't stop there. The Pharisees were still very upset. And some of them said, well, surely we're not blind, because that was the implication, that they weren't holy, they weren't blind. And Jesus says to them, if you were blind, this is kind of like a tricky thing, but it's very true and important. If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Basically, if we go around and we refuse to listen to God, if we refuse to listen to the Lord, if we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, what we hear in the Gospels, what we hear in the Bible, what we hear at communion time, in our prayer time, if we willfully refuse to listen to what Jesus Christ's will is for us, then we are accountable. And we are even more accountable if we say we're super Christians and we really don't live the life of Christ. So we are accountable, and we are to walk humbly with our God, and we are to listen to the Lord our God, and have ourselves on the inside be courageous and faithful and trust in the Lord. Basically, this story, the point is for us to allow Jesus to heal us, for us to have faith and trust and be courageous in the Lord, to allow Jesus not only to work in us, but through us for others. Being like the man who grew and could see now both physically and spiritually. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all the redeeming things that you do for us in our lives when things go wrong, when things get confused, when we are afraid, when we do feel alone. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for the power of your presence. Help us to be strong in you so that we can serve you. In Jesus' name we pray.